There's no longer the idea, you know, of working 9 to 5. That's the thing out of the window. I remember the days ago when I worked in the corporate world. Thank God I work for myself now. But I remember when I worked in the corporate world, it was not what you did between 9 and 5. It's what you did between 5 and 9. Because they wanted you there until late hours in the night. And that's the character of the corporate world. If you want to make it up the ladder, you have to be prepared to sacrifice your personal life, your spiritual life. You've got to be prepared to do that. Levi says, no, I'm finished with that. He says, I'm finished with that. Because what is of this life is going to pass. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is Levi's motto. And I trust it is our motto. How much are we consumed by the corporate system of things to the point that we become like Thomas? We're too occupied that we're going to have to miss the meeting. Or we become like Demas, who has loved this present evil world and sacrificed spiritual things. These are realities, young people. Are we prepared to make commitments presently to Christ so that he becomes all and in all? This is what Levi says. This man is all and in all to me. And I'm going to make him a feast. I can imagine the preparation. You know, I don't think that Levi just went home and slapped two things together and said, come on, here. Something to eat. I believe that there was meticulous preparation on the part of Levi. He goes home and he looks in his pantry. He looks in his pantry to see what is there. Maybe I have to go out to the supermarket and get something better. He goes out, he purchases, and he sets a feast. I don't believe that there was any feast like the feast that Levi put together on that occasion. Why? Because the feast master was special. Well, let me liken the other feast that we have to that. Do you remember Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? It says, they made him a feast. That's what's beautiful about John 12. There was a corporate entity there. It was not just Martha in the kitchen putting it together and complaining about where is Mary or where is Lazarus. No, it was they made him. And I think, beloved, tomorrow, God willing, we're going to together make him a feast. We're going to come together for his supper. And it's going to be a joint effort. That feast produced in Mary a wonderful response. The ointment, the odor poured out. Ointment that was poured out with the odor that affected the very house. It permeated the atmosphere of the house, and it permeated the hearts of those that were there, and it affected those on the outside, because I'm sure that any who passed by the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus got a whiff of the fragrance of the ointment. Why? Because the anointed one was the precious and special one. Levi set a feast up for him, and I'm sure he put him in a seat of prominence so that his other tax gathering friends might see how important he is to Levi. The Lord was extremely important now in the life of a man who had once been serving this world well. There's one hymn writer in the Choice Hymns that says, I was serving Satan well, and in sin did far excel. I believe that that was Matthew's response. I was serving Satan well. I was serving the government of Rome well. And in sin I was excelling. I was making profit hand over fist. Until I heard the voice that said, follow me. How sweet a voice. That's a voice we're hearing today. Follow me. Are we prepared to follow him? Are we prepared to make a feast for him? I think also of another feast in the Old Testament that I like to liken this to at times. It's the feast that Abraham made for Isaac. You remember? And then there was Ishmael and his mother, Ishmael Machin. There was a feast, wonderful feast. It was the feast day when Isaac took supremacy in the house. And if that's the case, Ishmael has to go. Beloved, if there is going to be a feast for Christ, he has to have the supremacy and everything else has to go. And that was what happened for Levi. Everything went. And it says, having made him a great feast, he introduced him through the power of attachment now to himself. I like to liken three or four verses to this. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. That I think brings out and capsules this incident, particularly recorded in Luke. Colossians 3 points out, if therefore ye have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. That's the power of attraction. Seek the things that are above. If you are risen with Christ, have you known somewhat of the power of resurrection? The Apostle Paul speaks of it in Philippians 3:10. To know the power of resurrection in a practical way. Do we know that? If I know that I am on resurrection ground and I'm enjoying resurrection life, then I'm to seek the things that are above. That's the power of attraction. Then we are told, I am to set, in verse 2, have your mind set on things above. That's the power of attachment. On things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So if there is power to attract, there is power to attach. And attachment implies that there is no severing whatsoever at all. The power of attraction has drawn, and the power of affections attach us to himself. So there is no going back whatsoever at all. Where Christ sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You'll discover then that there are very few occurrences here where Matthew's name is known in the scriptures. It's just simply in relation to his initial call. Matthew himself, when he writes, talks about him as Matthew. Mark talks about him as Levi. Luke talks about him as Levi. Well, Matthew, as I said, means gift of God. Levi means taken, or as in the case of Leah, united.